lovely, will change the direction of a church, it will change the direction of a city, it will change the direction of a nation. And so we need not to neglect prayer, for prayer is the power that changes the nations. It goes hand in hand with the Word of God, but prayer will change the direction of our nations. It will change the direction of this area. And so we just want to thank God that He is with us. He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. Last week we were talking about the fact of the very presence of God. But today the churches need to catch hold of a real tangible presence of God. Not just in name, but actually to feel and sense the very God. To know that He is God and to feel Him there, to know Him and to have that revelation of Him is so important. Because when you have that, then you carry that with you. And you share that into the lives of other men and women. And you minister the very presence of a living Christ. And that is so important that we have that. It was good to see, to hear the reading that Daniel brought, because it all continues through from where we want to press into. The disciples continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fellowship, coming together, encouraging one another, supporting one another, praying for one another, breaking bread and praying together, praying for the very presence of the living Christ to manifest Himself. We see when we read further on in Acts, when Peter and John were going through the gate beautiful, and there is a man he must have been there when Jesus walked by. But why did Jesus not heal him? Good question. There was an appointed time. He has left him there that the disciples might begin to step out in that mighty name. And Jesus said, you know, He said, greater works shall you do in My name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Greater works shall you do. And the man was begging for money. Seems a bit familiar to the sights in Doncaster. People begging for money. But money is not the answer. You see, there are many people begging for money who've got plenty of money. You can give people as much money as there is available. And at the end of it, most of these people will be skint again. Yeah. They'll have nothing left. They will waste it all. Yeah. It's not money that people need, it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone. He'll sort out the money. He'll sort out the food situation. He'll sort out the accommodation situation. It is in Christ and Christ alone that there are the answers. Because when rich men get hold of Jesus, it changes their destiny. It changes their outlook. And they begin to give. When poor people get hold of Jesus, it changes their outlook. It changes their perspective on life. And God gives. Out of His abundance, God gives to people. Pressed down, shaken together, and God gives running over. How does He do it? I have no idea. But I stand here, and grace stands here with me as a testimony for quite a number of years when we were living on 20-25% of our earning power that we'd given up on to serve God.
Amen.
We still stayed in the same house, we still did the same things and even more, and yet we hadn't the finance to do it with, and yet God kept us constantly. We never missed a mortgage payment, we never went without. But neither did God, because we always gave to God.
Amen.
We always made sure that God came first.
Yes. Everything else
comes after.
Amen.
It is Christ first. Our finance was given firstly to God. Our time was given to God. Our energy was given to God. And as we did that, we saw God give back to us.
Amen.
In an abundance. If you want to find a good bank, it's in heaven.
Amen.
It's the kingdom of God. If you want to find great rewards, it's in serving the King.
Amen.
If you want to find your table well spread,
yeah,
it's in serving Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Yeah.
He is far well able to do that which more than we can ask, think, or even believe. He's well able. This is not the message that I came to preach, but anyway, we just follow what the Spirit says. Turn with me to Ephesians. I love Ephesians. I have done for many, many, many years. Ephesians chapter 4. Church at Ephesus was a real example of service and honour unto God. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, we'll start, and he says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is a unity in the Spirit that we need to preserve. The enemy would seek to stop and to destroy. But you know, I find that we meet people from different denominations, from different nations, who love the Lord Jesus with different languages, and yet the moment that our spirits meet, there is a divine connection that is stronger than blood. It is more powerful than blood. And that divine connection is through the Spirit and through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is powerful. The power of the Spirit. You see, what we have to remember in our lives, God is not flesh and blood. But God is Spirit. And those who would worship God must worship Him in spirit. So much, if we're not careful, of church life can be done purely just out of the flesh. We have to worship Him in spirit. Our flesh has to be led by our spirit, not our flesh trying to lead our spirit. It doesn't work that way, because that means if I get up and I feel weary, sad and tired, that means I really won't praise God. But if I wake in the morning and I'm feeling sad and tired and I said, I do what David says, "Oh soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God. Begin to rejoice. Begin to praise." And I begin to let my spirit arise. And let the enemy be scattered. And as we arise in God in our spirits, The enemy scattered from us. We have a victory the first thing in the morning. We've conquered our feelings. We've conquered our circumstances. Because our eyes are on the living God. Our eyes are on the eternal God. Our eyes are on spiritual things, not on the natural things that surround us. We're surrounded by a great host of witnesses, the Word of God says. And that is spiritual. What verse did we get to? Thank you. And there is one body and one spirit, just as also there is one calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank God it's according to the measure of Christ and not of what we ourselves are able or of what we are worthy of. But the gifting is of Christ. He's the measure. Thank God that somebody else in the fleshly realm is not the measure. Because we would all be shortchanged. We would not receive enough. But Christ is the measure. And when we measure with Christ, there is an abundance in Christ that is given for each and every one of us. And God is a God of abundance. Why is He a God of abundance? Because He wants you to have an abundance that you might give to others out of your abundance.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an abundant God. When you consider the story of the disciples who've gone fishing, they got up that morning. They were sad. They were depressed. All hope had gone. Jesus had died. What's going to happen next? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go back fishing. They went fishing. They went back fishing. What did they catch? Nothing. They weren't very good at it, were they, anymore? Don't go back to the old ways. There's nothing there. You know, you could preach on that one. Don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back to yesterday. Don't go back to your old life, because in truth there is nothing there. You need the miracle worker, Jesus. The miracle worker, Jesus. And he stands on the shore and he says, "Have you got any fish?" He already knew the answer to that. He said, "Master, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a stickleback. We haven't caught nothing." He said, "Throw your net on the other side." I can imagine in the boat these expert fishermen saying, "Don't he know? He's not a fisherman, you know. I don't know who he is, but he's not a fisherman, because you don't fish in broad daylight. The fish won't come and bite. It's too late. Does he not know? Why do you want to listen to a guy who stood on the seashore who does not know nothing about fishing? We've had it all night. I'm exhausted. Why do we throw it over again and just be even more exhausted for nothing?" Never been like that. But in the end, somebody says, "Well, tell you what, humour him. Just humour the guy, whoever he is, just humour him." So they threw the net over the other side. The next thing, the net began to pull. And the boat began to be pulled and pulled down. I think, "Hey, what's this?
Amen.
Hey, come on guys, give us a hand. suddenly there's this abundance. Divine provision. The miracle wasn't just the fact that there was fish in daylight. The miracle was the fact there wasn't any fish at night at all. I've been to Galilee, I've seen it. You throw a piece of bread in the water at night time and it just comes alive with fish. There they were pulling in all these fish, and suddenly it dawns on Peter, it is the Master. There's only one person who can do that. And it's the miracle worker, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dove into the water and met him on the seashore. Well, we're not going in that direction. But we need to remember that we are dealing as individuals, as a church, we should be dealing in the realm of the supernatural. Amen. The outcome will be that there will be physical signs. Yes. But so often we try to deal with the natural first. Yes. When we should be dealing with that that is spiritual. And when we deal with that that is spiritual, then there will be a manifestation in the natural. God is calling us, He's recalling the church to come back to the supernatural realm. Amen. He's calling us to draw into Him and to catch a hold. He's calling us back to when He first created humanity, when He created Adam and Eve, and they were spiritual beings, that, because the Bible says they were made in the image of God. And what does that mean? Does God look like you and me? No. But God is spirit. Yeah. And so we were created, Adam and Eve were created at the beginning as spiritual beings. Yeah. The first part of them was spiritual. Secondary, the flesh. But the first part, one, the most important part of them was the spirit. And that's why Satan came into the garden and brought doubt and unbelief. And as he brought that doubt and that unbelief, and sadly, you know, as you read that, read the few chapters of the story of that, we're never told that Eve was ever told not to eat of that tree. Adam was told. He wasn't around when Adam was told that. He either forgot to tell her, and when she got hold of the fruit, he forgot to say, "Excuse me, love, but you know, we don't touch that. We don't. That's not for us." But he didn't. Men, take your position. Take your stand in God. Be men of the Spirit. Be men of the anointing. Be men who hear the voice of God and then obey the voice of God. And that's not saying that women don't, but I'm saying that, you know, men, stand up. Come on, men, you've got to stand up and be something in God. That's what you're called to be. Sadly, we look at our history and we look at the many missionaries, and there are many, many, many women who went out on the mission field where men would not go. God's not bothered whether you're male or female. He's interested in your spirit. Amen. Because in God there is no male, there's no female. But God is interested in the spirit that resides within each and every one of us. Amen. Has it connected with God? Are you filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God in your lives? Are you hearing God speak? Are you being quickened by the Word of God? That's when you hear God speak at times, when you read the Word. That's how you get to know Him and His directions and His leading. verse 7 it said, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, Jesus led captive a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Who did he lead captive? He led those who were before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who had died. He took hold of them. He went down, it says, first of all, and preached the gospel. He went down into the Hades and he brought the good news. And the captives were set free that received Christ. And they were led into the presence of God, set free. And he goes on to say that Jesus gave gifts to men. Verse 9 says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And the gifts he gave were some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for their work in the ministry of service unto God and to the body of Jesus Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God wants you and I to come to a place of spiritual maturity. You can be a young teenager, but if you know God, you can be a mature spiritual person in Christ. Amen. You can have many years in your life, but if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know and have a relationship with God, you're not a mature person spiritually. God is looking to bring you to a place of maturity. Every mum, every dad wants their children to grow up and to become a mature adult. Amen. True? Yeah. Some of you go, if only it would happen. God is at work. And God is at work in His church to bring these people to Himself. Verse 14, it says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but in speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We're to grow up. We're to spiritually grow up. God wants us to grow up. Are you ready to grow up? Are you ready to take on the powers of darkness? Pull down strongholds? Destroy the works of the devil? Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. If not, you need to be in the Word. The Word needs to be in you. We need to be together that we might teach and encourage one another how to do these things. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by which every joint supplies. Each and every one of us is part of the body, and the joints supply and meet the needs. God wants you to be supplying, meeting needs, as being part of the body. As Daniel read earlier, you know, we need to be together, we need to be focused, we need to be pressing through together. Every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. God wants to see His body upbuilt. God wants, and how does that happen? We're not talking about necessary physical things, but we're talking about the supernatural realm.
Amen.
We're talking about the realm of the Spirit, because that is where our strength is. That is where our power is.
Amen.
That is where our authority resides.
Amen.
Our authority is not in men, but it is in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Our authority and power comes through God's Word, through the name of Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. And so we need to begin to press in. We need to be reaching out for this tangible presence, so when we meet people on the streets, there is something about us that will touch a person's life.
Amen.
And it's not natural. There is something about us that must touch a person's life. But it has to be spiritual. Because there are men and women who are dead, spiritually dead, and they need to be awakened.
Praise God.
And although we have food banks and we have Teen Challenge and all these other things, none of these things are any good lest there is a spiritual awakening. Because all we've got, we'll have the same cycle.
Yeah.
Week after week, month after month, year after year. Because there is no spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
There has to be a spiritual awakening for there to be a change.
Yeah.
They say in our nation it's getting worse, not better. And yet we're supposed to be more prosperous as a nation. When you pass all the garages down Wheatley Hall Road, there's hundreds of cars, expensive ones. When you drive down streets, there are cars all over the place. We're supposed to be better off, we're more comfortable. And yet, as a nation, you walk the streets and we are not.
No.
Homelessness rises even more. Do you know why? Our nation is dead spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lest there be a spiritual awakening. And guess what? It starts with me.
It does.
And it starts with you.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work in either of us, there is no chance for those outside. There has to be a spiritual awakening. There has to be a desire to press into greater things in God. There has to be a desire to come together. There has to be a desire to see the power of God being released in and through us to affect the area where we live. Oh, Andrew, I don't have time. We'll make time. Oh, I can't afford to do that. Commit it to God. He'll make a way where there is no way. Allow God to be God in our lives. Allow the Spirit of God to begin to move into our lives and move through us. So important. Let the whole body begin to function and to begin to work together pressing in together, going forward together, standing together in prayer with an expectancy that there will be a move of the Spirit, not just a tickling of our feelings and a feel-good factor, but an actual moving of the very presence, where there is an actual tangibility that God is here. An actual manifestation of the presence and power of God. Not a manipulation. You know, you get people who come, we've seen them in churches over the years, they'll come and they begin to try and manipulate people. I know people who will lay hands on people and they'll lean them back so far that they have to fall down when they let them go. If I had it done on me, then I thought, there is no way I'm going down. I know when I feel the touch of God. I know that. And I know when I'm being pushed. And it's like, it's not happening, boy. There is no way. There's no point in doing it just look all these people have fallen down. Yeah. The question is, did they get up any different? Did they get up any different? And if they don't, then it's not God. Simple. It's not God. We need to see God. We need to see the very manifestation of the power and the presence of God moving amongst us. And we have. But guess what? I am so hungry for more. I am not satisfied. I am not content with it. We're still reaching and trying to find the hem of his garment. We need to catch that tangibility of the presence of the Spirit of God. I shared with you last week of times when we felt the sense and the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit just moving through us, through the congregation. The world's looking for answers.
Yeah. Amen.
The world's looking for answers. The answer is not in the dole. The answer is not in, I forgot what they call it now, the systems that we run in our country, that, you know, for the food and everything. And the answer's not in that. In fact, the answer is not even in jobs.
No.
The answer is in Jesus and the very presence of Christ living in your life. You can have a job and seem to have a good life, but inside you there is something that is missing, and that which is missing is the Christ. That pure relationship that you can have with God the Father, and only Christ can connect that.
Amen.
For each and every one of us. I remember the old style of motor car used to have a rotor arm. You remember them, Charles? We don't know what they are anymore now. It's all electronics. Can't see what happens anymore. But if you could have all the engine there, you could have the battery and everything that makes the car work, the fuel, the oil, the water, and everything was there, and all you needed to do to disable your car was to just remove one component called the rotor arm. Only about that sort of size, you know, inch and a, about 40 millimeters. That's all it was. Take that away. You could wind it all day and nothing would happen.
Yeah.
It was dead. Just one little piece. And today the world is missing one small piece.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ. when you put Christ in the centre, it will fire up. It will move into action and things will change. Life will change. So today I want to encourage you that God wants to use you. He wants to use us together. He wants us to come together. He wants us to see and to feel and sense and know the presence and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And that's together. And the only way that's going to happen is when we decide we are going to come together and we are going to push, 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 and push through. Until we receive the breakthrough.
Amen.
Doncaster needs it. The surrounding areas need it.
Amen.
There are areas where there are people pushing. We need to push.
Yeah.
We need to push through. Together we need to do it.
Yeah.
And I implore you, I plead with you,
Amen.
To come and join us in prayer. Come and push through with us. And see the presence and the power of God working in our lives. That we might touch this area and see a breakthrough for Jesus.
Amen.
We need to be dwelling in the spirit of unity.
Yeah.
And let the power of God work through us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's just pray. Father, we just bring this word before you and we just ask that Lord, you would seed this into our lives. And Father, we just right now, as we've spoken the words out, Father, we say, Lord, let people come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, seeking you out, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that like in the early churches, you had a candlestick. And it was lit. And men and women were drawn to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, I pray you will appoint and anoint people.
Yes.
And Father, I pray you would raise up within here ministries, men and women, with a passion and desire for more of you.
Amen.
Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.